1. K-pop gives me an odd sense of pride. When I see BTS, I feel like they're beautiful national treasures, and I'm like a sloppy, broke journalist in the US. But hey, we're the same. I was born in Korea, but spent half my life here and in Canada, and K-pop is one of those things that has kept me connected to my roots.
2.
When I was in the 5th grade, I was going to school in Vancouver, and my parents used to send me CDs of this boy band called G.O.D. I swear I went to bed with that CD. And then later, when I lived in Arizona, I really liked this other group called Super Junior. But in 2017 is when I fell hard. Really, really hard. In the spring of that year, I started watching a South Korean reality TV show called Produce 101. It was a cutthroat competition-style show where week by week, viewers would vote for their favorite contestants out of 101 boys. That's why it's called Produce 101. And at the end of the season, the top 11 would become a boy band called 101. That's W-A-N-N-A-1.
4.
Something about voting for someone every week and watching them get so emotional over whether they were going to make it made me feel like I was responsible for their success. People were literally campaigning for their picks, like they would for political candidates. This contestant is thanking his supporters for voting for him. And when the contestant I was rooting for got picked in the end, I felt like I had a hand in it.
All together, let's shout, we love you, 101! 1, 2, 3! We love you!
5.
None of this would be fun without other people. And it's so easy to bond with others who love the same thing as you do. There are massive networks of communities surrounding K-pop. To me, the fandom was like a doorway to Korea. Every time I checked out of real life and went online to see what was going on there, I would be tuning into Korean culture and talking about Korean things.
6.
Mostly, I was just so excited to speak Korean again.
눈물 없이 들을 수 없는 얘기예요. 아, 이거는 뽕 맞았다고도 설명을 할 수가.
I really crossed the point of no return when I went to see 101 perform in person. In the summer of 2017, Produce 101 had ended, and the 11 boys selected from the show were finally going to make their debut. And it turned out that the band's first public appearance was going to be in the U.S. at a K-pop convention in Los Angeles called KCON. Obviously, it was fate. There was absolutely no way I wasn't going.
7.
KCON was awesome. 101 was awesome. I was having a great time. But then there were also moments when I was starting to feel like, wait a minute, this is kind of shady. Every single thing was commodified to the max. K-pop has figured out this formula for making money, and it's been chemically engineered to make you crave more and more, like fast food.
8.
Everything is for sale. Music, merchandise, even an artist's time. Like, for instance, at KCON, organizers were selling cheaply made merchandise for a chance to meet 101. I'm talking about things like banners, fans, and light sticks, things that no one was ever going to use. And the more you bought, the higher the chance you had, but there was no guarantee. So fans were lining up in droves to spend thousands of dollars on garbage.
9.
Even after feeling uncomfortable about that experience, I still went to 101 concerts and spent a ton of money buying random, useless stuff to get into fan events. That's what you do when you're addicted. You lose control. Then in 2018, I moved back to Korea for family reasons.
10.
Later, I got a job working for a K-pop radio program. I was like, sweet, I'll get to see K-pop idols all the time. And I did, and it was totally cool for a while. I'd walk in the building, and literally, Super Junior would be in the elevator. Remember I said I liked them in high school? Yeah, well, they're in the elevator. Another perk was getting tickets to TV shows where K-pop acts promote their latest music.
11.
At the end of the show, all the different groups come out on stage and they announce the number one artist of the week to congratulate them. There was one week where all the artists came out at the end and the whole stage was bright and pink. Everybody's cheering the winner. And I realize all the young people are just props for the grown-ups, and the goal is to make huge amounts of money off of them. And I'm one of those people who's making a living from these kids.
12.
It reminded me very much of a puppet show. It's hard to reconcile that kind of experience with also being a fan and a consumer. Now that I knew how the sausage was made, I couldn't help but feel icky about what I was buying. Being a fan started to become not very fun. And there were some truly miserable moments, especially as I attended more 101 concerts all over Asia.
13.
But the experience that really took the cake was in Malaysia. I think the event company overbooked the show. Thousands of people were trapped in these two standing sections that were not meant for that many people. It's hot and humid, and even before the show begins, I'm looking around at all these petite Malaysian teens and women who already look like they're gonna faint.
14.
Then boom, the music starts, and the fans in the back start pushing. People in the front who were already squished to the max are now passing out. I'm near the front row, screaming my head off for help. I make eye contact with one of the 101 members, and I remember seeing this horrified look on his face. They stop the show. The band is now asking people to please be safe. But then these girls who were on the verge of passing out, they were screaming not to be taken out. Like, no, please let me stay.
15.
They didn't want to miss the chance to see their idols. The funny thing is, the event company still carried out this extra meet-and-greet event after the concert. You'd think they'd have shut the whole thing down, but no. These idols were products, and we were going to consume them as scheduled, because money had been paid for their services.
16.
They still had to smile, look cute, and do the whole K-pop idol thing. I was still excited to see them up close, but when I finally did, I saw that they were exhausted and horrified. I think I said to them, "Are you okay?" It was clear to me that they weren't.
17.
Even if there isn't a disaster like this one, it's common for K-pop idols to be overworked. They tour constantly. They sign contracts with companies that invest a ton of money in them from when they're really young. The companies control everything about the artists' lives, including what they eat, who their friends are, where they go to school. But only a fraction of these idols make it big, or even make enough money to break even. Some of them end up with mountains of debt to the companies they sign on with.
18.
Some artists end up struggling with mental health issues. At least 3 high-profile K-pop idols have died by suicide in recent years. Others make the news for different reasons, by being involved in crime. The charges and convictions range from DUIs, drug use, tax evasion, and even sexual assault. Those stories really got to me when I was working for the K-pop radio show.
19.
Part of idolizing something requires that you take the human out of it. But if you're in the industry, you're forced to see the human side of K-pop, which meant I couldn't stay a willing customer. It took some time to give up being a fan, though. It helped that my favorite group, 101, had a natural end. They disbanded in January 2019 when their contract ended. I went to the final concert, mostly for my own closure.
20.
And then there was a revelation this year that the votes and rankings for the entire Produce 101 franchise were rigged. The show's top producer, An Junyoung, ended up going to prison. To think that the thing you were so addicted to was a fraud? That ought to sober you up. I still love K-pop in all its glory. The catchy music, the dance routines, and the flashy music videos. And it'll always be that thing that connects me to my culture. But you can love something without letting it change you. There are people out there who are counting on you to lose control and turn over your bank accounts, like I did.
Yoo Hyung Jung is a data journalist living in Hawaii. She's also a musician and scored some of the music in this story.